No man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God.
On Friday, September the 20th this year, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, President of the United States of America, spoke these words to the 18th General Assembly of the United Nations. Today, barely 2 months later, President Kennedy is dead, the victim of an assassin's bullet. But no one can deny that President Kennedy lived by these words from the scriptures. Radio Malaysia, in its tribute to Kennedy, presents a portrait of a great leader in his own words.
In November 1960, nearly 70 million Americans cast their votes in secret ballot to determine who would be the 35th President of the United States of America. They chose 44-year-old John Fitzgerald Kennedy, the youngest man ever elected. In his inaugural address, the new president pledged,
"Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty." This much we pledge and more. To those old allies whose cultural and spiritual origins we share, we pledge the loyalty of faithful friends. United, there is little we cannot do in a host of cooperative ventures. Divided, there is little we can do, for we dare not meet a powerful challenge at odds and split asunder. To those new states whom we welcome to the ranks of the free, we pledge our word that one form of colonial control shall not have passed away merely to be replaced by a far more iron tyranny. We shall not always expect to find them supporting our view, but we shall always hope to find them strongly supporting their own freedom. And to remember that in the past, those who foolishly sought power by riding the back of the tiger ended up inside. To those people in the huts and villages of half the globe, struggling to break the bonds of mass misery, we pledge our best efforts to help them help themselves. For whatever period is required, not because the communists may be doing it, not because we seek their votes, but because it is right. If a free society cannot help the many who are poor, it cannot save the few who are rich. To our sister republics south of our border, we offer a special pledge to convert our good words into good deeds, in a new alliance for progress, to assist free men and free governments in casting off the chains of poverty. But this peaceful revolution of hope cannot become the prey of hostile powers. Let all our neighbors know that we shall join with them to oppose aggression or subversion anywhere in the Americas. And let every other power know that this hemisphere intends to remain the master of its own house. To that World Assembly of Sovereign States, the United Nations, our last best hope, in an age where the instruments of war have far outpaced the instruments of peace, we renew our pledge of support to prevent it from becoming merely a forum for invective, to strengthen its shield of the new and the weak, and to enlarge the area in which its writ may run. Finally, to those nations who would make themselves our adversary, we offer not a pledge, but a request that both sides begin anew the quest for peace. Before the dark powers of destruction, unleashed by science, engulf all humanity in planned or accidental self-destruction. So let us begin anew, remembering on both sides that civility is not a sign of weakness and sincerity is always subject to proof. Let us never negotiate out of fear, but let us never fear to negotiate.
John Fitzgerald Kennedy had set himself a hard road to follow, but few feared that he would shrink from the task that lay ahead of him. In his Pulitzer Prize-winning book, Profiles in Courage, he had expressed the essence of his own philosophy in these words.
A man does what he must, in spite of personal consequences, in spite of obstacles and dangers and pressures, and that is the basis of all human morality.
The problems he faced were many, both at home and abroad. The need for courage was great. At home, President Kennedy was confronted by a racial problem, a problem that was also on a larger scale a contemporary world issue, the relationship between the black and the white races. Right at the very start of his administration, Kennedy found himself deeply involved in the civil rights issue. Throughout his brief term in office, this struggle for civil rights went on. In an address to the nation on June 11 this year, President Kennedy emphasized his stand on this issue.
This nation was founded by men of many nations and backgrounds. It was founded on the principle that all men are created equal, and that the rights of every man are diminished when the rights of one man are threatened. Today we are committed to a worldwide struggle to promote and protect the rights of all who wish to be free. And when Americans are sent to Vietnam or West Berlin, we do not ask for whites only, but we to say to the world, and much more importantly, to each other, that this is a land of the free, except for the Negroes, that we have no second-class citizens, except Negroes, that we have no class or caste system, no ghettos, no master race, except with respect to Negroes. It ought to be possible, in short, for every American to enjoy the privileges of being American without regard to his race or his color. In short, every American ought to have the right to be treated as he would wish to be treated, as one would wish his children to be treated.
He went on to appeal to the American people to examine their conscience and ask for their help to make America truly a nation of the free. A week later, he sent an urgent message to the Congress asking it to help end rancor, violence, disunity, and shame by passing what was described as the most sweeping civil rights bill since Reconstruction days. This called for a lot of courage, for among the staunchest supporters of segregation were members of his own Democratic Party, the representatives from the southern states. In the United Nations, too, he came out boldly for the rights of all men.
But man does not live by bread alone. And the members of this organization are committed by the Charter to promote and respect human rights. Those rights are not respected. When a Buddhist priest is driven from his pagoda, when a synagogue is shut down, when a Protestant church cannot open a mission, when a cardinal is forced into hiding, or when a crowded church service is bombed, I know that some of you have experienced discrimination in this country, but I ask you to believe me when I tell you that this is not the wish of most Americans, that we share your regret and resentment, and that we intend to end such practices for all time to come, not for our visitors, but for our own citizens as well. We are opposed to apartheid and all forms of human oppression. We do not advocate the rights of black Africans in order to drive out white Africans. Our concern is the right of all men to equal protection under the law. And since human rights are indivisible, this body cannot stand aside when those rights are abused and neglected by any member state.
Domestically, John Fitzgerald Kennedy inherited an explosive situation in the civil rights issue, and he faced it with boldness and imagination. Internationally, he faced an equally, if not more explosive situation, the Cold War. As he said to the United Nations in September this year,
24 months ago, when I last had the honor of addressing this body, the shadow of fear lay darkly across the world. The freedom of West Berlin was in immediate peril. Agreement on a neutral Laos seemed remote. The mandate of the United Nations in the Congo was under fire. The financial outlook for this organization was in doubt. Dag Hammarskjöld was dead. The doctrine of Troika was being pressed in his place. And atmospheric nuclear tests had been resumed by the Soviet Union.
Perilous times indeed. But in his inaugural address, President Kennedy had said,
in the long history of the world, only a few generations have been granted the power of defending freedom in its hour of maximum danger. I do not shrink from this responsibility. I welcome it.
President Kennedy did not shrink or shirk his responsibility. He faced it boldly, too boldly, some thought, at the beginning. There was the sad and tragic affair of the Bay of Pigs soon after Kennedy took over as president. Memory of this and the knowledge of Khrushchev's willingness to practice brinkmanship caused the world to hold its breath when Kennedy confronted Khrushchev in October 1962 with the demand that he remove Russian missiles based in Cuba, backed up by a naval quarantine on such offensive weapons being sent to Cuba. Intense relief came on October 28th when Khrushchev backed down. While not afraid to face the risk of war, Kennedy worked wholeheartedly for the sake of peace. In June this year, he proposed a strategy of peace to lead the United States and Russia out of the vicious and dangerous cycle of the Cold War. And as a first step, he proposed a high-level and intensified effort to reach agreement on a nuclear test ban. In September, a treaty banning nuclear tests in space, in the atmosphere, and underwater was initialed in Moscow by the Soviet Union, the United States of America, and Great Britain. These three nations formally accepted it and were followed by nearly 100 other nations. This, some may say, would be pointed to by future historians as the greatest contribution Kennedy has made to humanity. But the late president himself looked on it as only a small beginning.
A test ban treaty is a milestone, but it is not the millennium. We have not been released from our obligations. We have been given an opportunity. And if we fail to make the most of this moment and this momentum, if we convert our newfound hopes and understandings into new walls and weapons of hostility, if this pause in the Cold War merely leads to its renewal and not its end, then the indictment of posterity will rightly point its finger at us all. My fellow inhabitants of this planet, let us take our stand here in this assembly of nations, and let us see that if we, in our own time, can move the world to a just and lasting peace.
So said Kennedy only 2 months ago. He was a man committed to freedom and to peace. Freedom for all men and peace for the world. And he died a martyr for his cause. He had put his hand to the plow and he had not looked behind.
You have been listening to a tribute to Kennedy, a portrait of the late President of the United States of America. The program was compiled and produced by Sunny Menon and presented by Leslie Dawson.